32nd year on stage now?
Years?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, our first single we released with the name No Means No was in 1980. So I guess that's 30 years now. But only, I think, our second time in Freiburg. Yeah. I believe we've only played here one other time.
You have played in the Black Forest in Villingen-Schwenningen several
times. Yes, and of course in Karlsruhe and across the border there in Colmar and Malus a few times. So,
and what do you
nearby.
Think, what do you think about the scene around your music in the 80s and in the 90s? There was a, well, hardcore scene, something like that. You played, you played very big gigs, even in the early 90s. But there was a special scene from persons who are making fanzines, who are making music, who are making very low budget concerts and so on. And what's the situation now? Is it changed or what is your?
I would say that I think the sort of it, you know, what you were describing in the 80s, there was a much more sort of activity around the music. Do you want to go through here? Come on. Sorry. You know, the music was very grassroots in those days, you know, at least this kind of scene, the alternative and the punk rock and hardcore scene. But in the 90s, it became very mainstream, you know. I think when Nirvana sold 1 billion records, it sort of was the end of the music scene being kind of an innocent and homegrown thing, and became, an, you know, another part of the music industry. Come on, Becky. So the you know, that sort of changed the feel of what was going on.
Okay, and what is your mood? Are you sometimes a little bit melancholic for these things?
Well, not especially.
Things change, and so
things change. We haven't particularly changed. You know, we were never, you know, part of any sort of. You know, we tried to avoid the business end of music as much as possible, and we developed a great audience in the 1980s and early 90s, especially here in Europe.
Yeah.
And even though the music went off in different directions like other bands, we always had our fans that would come to our shows, and we have generally worked with the same people over all of these years. For instance, the man who booked the show for here in Freiburg, it was the same man that started booking us in Germany in 1988. So, you know, we've remained tied to a lot of people that we worked with for many years. So we don't really follow in the same vein as a lot of other bands. So we remain a little bit insulated. And yeah, I mean, things change, and you can't get too caught up in the past, I don't think.
That's true. But perhaps you can tell us something about the past, perhaps something about the situation you built up, the band No Means No. Why this name?
The name was an anti-rape slogan from the late 70s. And it just, we saw it on a wall, spray painted, and thought, well, that would be a great name for a band. And and you know, our early music was, you know, there was a lot of common, you know, we talked to, had a lot of feminist bent in the music, and personal politics and sexual politics, and it just seemed to be a good name for us. And we were just drums and bass when we started out, my brother and I, but we eventually got a guitar player in the band. And you know, we were part of that sort of post-punk Gang of Four, PIL, I don't know, these sort of bands coming out in the early 80s. But, you know, the music that we really enjoyed was the punk rock around Vancouver and the west coast of the United States and Canada. I mean, that was what was exciting at that time. So It's what we were caught up in.
Yeah. And you just mentioned it, you played together with your brother for years and years and years.
Yeah.
So don't you have something like a nerve of family, or I don't know what
to... A symbiotic relationship? But, well, I mean, we just have always sort of had the same energy about music, and we don't always like the same music, but when the music we play together, we like, you know. And yeah, so as a rhythm section brothers for that many years, you get to know each other very well. And it gives us a, you know, that definitely gave us a sound that was different than other bands. So we had a bit of a unique sound. But the guitar was, you know, brought in, we can, you can bring more color into the music and some more power with the big guitar sounds, and being a loud three-piece rock and roll band is, I think that's always the best.
Perhaps you can tell us something about the music. The music has changed, I think, but there is still a very, very, well, dominant form of the rhythm section.
Yeah, definitely. It starts from the rhythm out most of the time. But somebody's at the door. The music has changed, just because we're much older now, you know, 30 years of experience in writing and performing. You get better at what you do, and essentially the way the music comes together is not too much different now than it was then. Apart from just being a little bit older and wiser and more, like I say, just because of your experience, and you can do different things that you may not have been able to do so well when you were young. But apart from that, I mean, really, the songs are written more or less the same way, and we take each song as it comes along. You know, it's not too formulaic in that respect. You know, like the Hanson Brothers are sort of alter egos. That's a formula of music, and the songs have to be a certain way all the time. But with No Means No, we have some leeway in the parameters, and we can get away with stuff. So that was over the years, that gives you a lot of freedom to, you know, get too bored of what you're doing.
That's true. And is there a new album?
We have two new EPs. We decided to put out vinyl EPs, four songs each. We released one earlier this year, the first one, and of which we'll be playing all of it tonight, as well as the next one is ready, but it's unfortunately didn't get to us at the start of this tour. It's still at the pressing plant. We're still waiting. It's a bit late, so unfortunately we don't have it here tonight. But we have these flash drives, so 2 gig flash drives, and on those is all 8 songs and, you know, a live show and some pictures and stuff like that. So the music's there. And the new music will be available online, you know, iTunes and eMusic, all that, in December. So we have a bunch of new songs. We're working on and planning on the next one. And we were trying to do them a little, you know, instead of one album every 3 years. See if we could do like an EP every, you know, 8 months or something like that. So there's definitely lots of new songs tonight.
One question to the lyrics, because when I, especially as a German, read lyrics from other bands coming from these hardcore punk rock scene, it's very easy to understand them.
Yeah.
Even Dead Kennedys and so on. Mm-hmm. And your lyrics are always a little bit... sometimes I don't understand what it's metaphoric. It's quite. So what are they dealing about?
I think it's
clear, but perhaps you can.
Yeah,
describe
it's hard for me too sometimes to describe. My brother Rob writes most of the lyrics, and often they're not so much about something specifically, but more. Giving you the impression and feelings, bringing out it makes you feel something, but you're not exactly sure what it is that you're feeling. you know, he's you know, often they're somewhat philosophical, I suppose, in some ways, dealing with like, again, it's hard for me to describe it as well, but you know, sort of he's been obsessed with sort of reducing yourself to nothingness, you know, the whole getting rid of yourself and our individual selves, I suppose you would put it, I guess a bit of a Buddhist sensibility to, from that perspective. But again, it's hard for me to say how people, what they're about, because really the best lyrics, I think, are the ones that you feel something from it, and not everyone will get the same impression or idea from it. They're not so, like you say, Jello Biafra, this is what I'm saying, yeah. And it means the same thing to everyone, because it's very clear. But I think sometimes with us, this music can mean something very different to different people. And I think when we're most successful is when people get a feeling about what they're listening to rather than necessarily an idea.
Okay. So, do you have still a question?
More? So, you mentioned you are well known in Europe, but there was a big change, like in the end of the 80s, beginning of the 90s. Mm-hmm. So you have been to Eastern Europe several times?
Yeah. Well, actually, the very first time we came in 1988, we also went to Poland and to Yugoslavia, Slovenia, Ljubljana. And East Germany, we went to East Berlin over, we went across the wall, it was very exciting, and to Hungary. So right from the very beginning, we were into the East and have really gone there. Well, in Germany, we probably played the most out of all European countries because there's so many places to play, and it was always the biggest audiences and the best guarantees and whatnot. But always have spread it out, our tours, to make sure that we go to play a lot of shows in Poland and, of course, Czech and the Balkans, you know. And we managed to make it to Russia one time, played in Moscow and Leningrad, or St. Petersburg, and also into Scandinavia. We've been through there as many times as well. So we've spread it around all of Europe. I think the only two European nations we haven't visited to play is Portugal and Greece. So
Greece could be very special. No?
Yeah, could be. Yeah, it's all you know. We had planned to go there, and shows were canceled, unfortunately. And I believe we have a show booked for Portugal next April, so it'll be the first time there. But yeah, we've had lots of great shows in the East. I was very happy to get there before the wall came down, you know, while it was still basically communist, although it was really, by 1988, it was already changing quite a bit. But there was such enthusiasm for Western music to come in, and people were just so thirsty for to experience this, right? So it was a great experience for musicians.
Excuse me.
To go there at that time.
So you have some impressions of the changes since like 1990?
Yeah. Oh yeah, boys, it's changed a lot, you know. I mean, I think there's still a lot of poverty when you get outside the main centers. But, you know, you go to Warsaw or Prague or, you know, Wrocław or, you know, Slovenia or like Ljubljana, Fresno, yeah. You know, they just now look like a contemporary, modern European city. So, great improvements. They put some paint on the buildings. you know, but I still think, like, even in East Germany, there's still a lot of unemployment, and I think it's still difficult, but it'll take generations, I think, for these countries to really become, where the wealth spreads to all the corners, you know.
We all know this film from Bowling for Columbine, from Michael Moore, you know it. And Michael Moore, he says, well, the United States, horrible, all people are shooting and so on. And Canada is a really utopian vision in this film, you know.
He likes to.
he really likes it. What, you are from Canada. Yeah. Perhaps you can say something about the political or social situation in Canada. Is it really like this?
I think he exaggerated to make a point. I think, yes, people in Canada do lock their doors. but I think the impression he was giving is that it's Canada's not a culture of fear, you know, where America is really built on a culture of fear and walls, you know, like, you know, Fortress America is becoming even more so. We were just discussing that as we crossed the border into Switzerland yesterday and came back. It was always a stupid border for years and years, and they refused to be in the EU, and just why is this border here when all the others have gone? But even now, the Swiss are relaxing, and we just drove through and drove back. There was no stopping, but it was always a problem. In America, it really now reminds me of what it's like to, what it was like to cross into East Germany. You know, going into America now, it's like they're going back in time to the bad old days, you know. The rest of the world is trying to open up and become easier, and they're just going the other direction. And yeah, they're just people that have closed themselves off from the world. And so when you combine that with no money for education down there, and everyone owns a handgun, and they don't know anything about the rest of the world. They don't know anything about their own country. It's amazing. I mean, generally. I mean, I know lots of great American people who are smart, intelligent, nice people. But as a whole, when you're there, you just, it's unbelievable. It's like you don't know anything about what's going on. Not that I'm an expert, but I mean, come on. They're just not exposed, and in fact, there's a conscious effort not to see things. So I think he was trying to draw that comparison between Canada's not a gun culture, really, although people get shot in Canada. And in fact, long rifles, there's more long rifles per capita in Canada than in the United States, right? There just happens to be 10 times as many people in the United States. But there's no handguns, except now, of course, you know, with the drug war on drugs, now drugs are a commodity in which drugs are exchanged for handguns. And so there's plenty of handguns in Canada that come from the United States with the drug dealers, you know, arming themselves and whatnot. It's a poison that spreads over the borders, you know. And the war on drugs is you know, a major source of the poison, you know. So Canada has its problems, but it's not a culture built on, you know, built on the gun.
In British Columbia, you are part of a political movement?
Not me personally. I mean, we all take part in our elections and whatnot, but I'm not politically active per se. You know, basically, I spend my time looking after my boys. I got two sons, and you know, working on the band stuff and music and playing.
Can you live from the music?
Yeah. We've been surviving off No Means No for many years now. I'm not rich by any means, but you know, I'm able to spend my time away from the band with my family, so. And that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of work on its own.